The 1950s were a heady time for agriculture. Sheep were even driven around in Rolls Royces. This year we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of ABC Rural, bringing you archival material from ABC Radio throughout the last seven decades. Melanie Sim takes us back to those golden days, starting with a field recording by John Douglas, the founder of the Rural Department.
There's a cry of Willoway. Yes, it's shearing time, as an old sheepman remarked. The war's over. The first auction sales are over, and things look pretty good on the wool front. Despite drought in the north and super blitzing from the synthetic advocates, wool men are happy. So the country hour takes you to see the golden fleece shorn from those valuable sheep. And today we're at Werribee, at Woodstock, New South Wales, where shearing is in full swing.
It's the 1950s, and wool is booming in Australia. But then overseas, this happened.
My fellow citizens, at noon today, I sent a message to the Congress about the situation in Korea. We have sent land, sea, and air forces to assist in these operations. We have done this because we know that what is at stake here is nothing less than our national security and the peace of the world.
U.S. President Harry Truman announced the Korean War. With it, America started buying huge amounts of Australian wool to make soldiers' uniforms, and a massive spike in prices followed. Former Country Hour man Clem Holdsworth remembers.
That Les Bridges that I just mentioned sold his wool for £1 a pound, because up till then it was selling for a matter of shillings, you know. Suddenly, £1 a pound.
By 1951, the average greasy wool price was equivalent to $37 a kilo. That kept shearers on the boards busy.
Well, I hope there's a few old-time shearers listening to this noise. There's no need for me to tell you, of course, that this is hand-shearing being done at Werribee on the stud rams. And we have here Ray Denzel. Say, Ray, I see you've been in the Army.
Oh, yes, I haven't. Not very long out of the Army.
Where did you get to?
I was in Wewak with the 2nd 10 Commando Squadron.
Commando Squadron. Well, that's a very good training, you know, for a stud ram shearer, I can see.
Yes, you need it too. You need every bit of it.
Yes. They tell me some of these boys weigh over 200 pounds. By the way, tell us about this hand shearing. What's the object of it?
The idea of this hand shearing, you don't knock the sheep about near as much, and you take your time over them, and you don't get down near the pelt near so much as the machines.
And those rams are well looked after beyond the shearing shed.
People talk about Australia riding on the sheep's back. At the time I joined the ABC, that was true. And it was true that, you know, in the Western District of Victoria, they did put merino rams in the back of their Rolls Royce and that kind of thing.
And as Graham White, an earlier reporter for the Country Hour, explains, it wasn't just wool.
It was a time of not just the wool boom, but of prosperity in most of the rural industries. And that's why McEwen and Doug Anthony, they were powerful men in government in the Country Party. It seems extraordinary to talk about it in this day and age. Malcolm Fraser was, after all, a grazier in the Western District of Victoria. And so it went right through that period. But in the time we're talking about, those were the big names in politics, and they were representing the big industries in the country.
By the mid-50s, Australia's wheat production was 5.4 million tonnes, with large storage facilities being built to accommodate this high production. Both wheat and wool producers were facing a major challenge, though.
All over the world, and especially in countries with as many rabbits as Australia, farmers and scientists are searching for new ways of killing rabbits. These vermin, although thought by many city people to be rather cute, are perhaps the greatest pests in the world.
In 1950, the CSIRO introduced the myxomatosis virus down the Murray River to control the rabbits. Mosquitoes took the virus along the rivers of South Australia, Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. It reduced the rabbit population dramatically. Graham White met CSIRO head Ian Clunies Ross before the release.
He said, on Monday, we're going to announce the release of the myxoma virus. We're hoping the answer to this incredible rabbit population in this country. And I came off a property where, you know, wheat crops would be eaten overnight by rabbits. But he said, I have to say to you that it's not a pretty sight seeing a rabbit die of myxomatosis, and we anticipate that there'll be some considerable public reaction, and there'll also be a great concern that this myxoma virus is likely to be transmitted to human beings. He said, I want you to know that for the last, I think he said 2 years, Dame Jean McNamara and I have been inoculating ourselves with the myxoma virus. We were, his words were, we were offered prisoners on death row at Pentridge Prison, and we decided against that, and we felt we knew what we were on about, and I'm prepared to go public now and say there is absolutely no danger.
Back in the shearing shed, things were still busy, but the high wool prices didn't last. And by the mid-50s, prices were half of those received in the golden years.
Well, that's the knock-off bell, and they tell me the Babbling Brook has really something good on the line for the shearers. But incidentally, the boss tells me that several men around here want to knock off soon just to hear the Lawson.
The ABC presents The Lawsons by Gwen Meredith. Episode 539.
Ah, the good old days. The theme song to The Lawsons, ending that report from Melanie Sim. The story was part of our series celebrating the Country Hour's 70th anniversary, Australia's longest running radio program. And the audio came from the National Library of Australia's Oral History Unit, with thanks to Rob Lynn, and also from ABC Archives.